on page Samach Dalet on Shoshav Reichen, finishing this part of the perek, which the Rebbe himself says is not really a part of the Sefer as far as the subject of the Sefer itself is concerned, but more of a reminder of what mindset we need to be in and what kind of commitment we need to have in order for us to go further. So on the top of page Samach Dalet, then Yala al Daito shall mimi kam sheyesh efsharis lahamsi b'shilo tachbulas kol kach toves atshagam leitzdarich lavad lis yaget tos noy mesukun hutoya. This is that some of you might be making a mistake that it's possible to come up with some sort of tachbulas. In other words, everybody was talking about we see that each and every person in his own way needs to adapt into his life different strategies, different tachbulas. The tachbulas tasa melchama, different strategies for overcoming his own personal challenges and for being able to motivate himself personally to become a better Jew. So every person needs tachbulas, and we saw last week from the Mo'er Shemesh that not only each person needs it, but each person needs different tachbulas all the time, that he himself has to always think of different tachbulas. That the things that worked for you, that got you going last year or last week, are not necessarily going to work this week. It can already be that tachbula that you were using in the past can already be, ausgespielt. It's already played itself out. It's finished. It's not working anymore. It's stale. So you need to come up with something new to give you chizik. Always chadosh ma'bekarim rabba emunasecha. All the time. New eitzes and new tachbulais. All the time. But the Rebbe's warning is now, in yal al daita shamim bekem sheyesh efshas lahamsi v'shul tachbulas kol kach toyves. I don't want you to think, somebody might think that it's possible to come up with such good strategies, atchigam leitzdarach lavad lisyageya, so that it will make it unnecessary for you to struggle anymore. In other words, you have such clever tachbulos you've adapted in your life, in Avodas Hashem, that it's not going to be hard anymore. You'll be able to, you'll be able to sit back and put your feet up because you have some sort of, you're clinging to a certain eitzah in Avodas Hashem. A certain eitz in Avodas Hashem. I mean, a person thinks, now that I'm in a certain kind of yeshiva, I have a certain seder in learning, and I'm learning a certain sefer, or I have a certain tzura of how I appear and how I go, and so on and so forth. And my whole, this is something that Bochum are certainly familiar with, this struggle that they make all kinds of kabbalas and all kinds of wonderful tachbulas and eitzes that they accept upon themselves in a new way of dressing and appearing and so on. And in doing so, they change completely from the environment that they were in growing up, let's say in a house, which was much more permissive than what they've adapted now into their lives. But that you can go back for ben hazmanim, it's amazing, you can still remember how to use the remote control of a television, right? You still remember it. After all the tachbulas, and after all the aces, and after all the warm davening, and the new hat, and the new gartel, and the new with all of that, it doesn't knock out from your head the ability to be able to figure out what buttons to press on the remote control. That's just a silly but scary example of how these things work in life. Because the bottom line is that you have to be a hardworking person. You have to be a hardworking person. You have to be a big bal yigi. You have to work hard. And when you try to replace hard work, when the tachbulas and eitzes are there instead of hard work, you see, what a person uses eitzes and tachbulas is to be able to facilitate and to accelerate and to be mechazik one's avayda, but not to replace one's avayda. This is the same when it comes to things. We see this even in the physical world. I think I might want to share with you an unbelievably stupid thing that I once did, which is part of growing up. Well, this is probably very extremely stupid. Maybe it's not even like an average thing, but we had a bunch of guys. There was an older guy from my yeshiva that got a bunch of the younger guys a job in this place. I'm talking about when I was like, for the summer. I don't remember what it was. Maybe in those days we didn't have like all these things they have now. Summer, summer kailah like this. So the summer kailah was on the F chain. That was the summer kailah. Didn't have any of the, like these nice things, and my certain nobody was going to camp, and it was just, we were working in the summer. So we all got this job in this sunglasses factory. It was owned by a Yid, it was owned by a Jew. He was a very, very interesting, he was a strange guy. But it was like menial labor. He was moving this factory, and we had, so some of us were busy making these sunglasses, and then others were busy packing boxes. And so I was there for like 2-3 days, and the older guy from the yeshiva was in charge of the new chevra that came in, and we were like all goofing around. There was a lot of funny stuff going on. We were going really to have a good time, and if we had to work, okay, but it was mostly to have a good time, I had to make the, there's this machine, and the machine makes a hole in the side of the glass, where it attaches the thing that goes around the ear. So you have to make this hole through the lens. And they're expensive, they were like designer glasses. You have to make a hole through the lens in order to attach the thing that goes on the ear. So there's this very strong machine that makes these holes. And the guy showed me how to do it. You take a lens and you have to go. And it's a hole. You have to know how to do it. So he showed me how to do it. It wasn't hard to do. So I'm sitting here with this machine, and he gave me like boxes of lenses to do. So I'm thinking, the faster I get done with this, I could hang out a little bit and whatever. So first I was doing like what he told me. I remember I was doing like one lens and it was Givaldi. So then I said, why can't I do two lenses? It's a very strong machine. I do two. So I take two and I go, and it's good. I said, why stop there? Three is fine. Okay, so I had gone like four or five at a time, and I was making these holes in the thing. And this is great. I'm knocking off these boxes, and I'm just one after the other. And I put it on the side, and the other thing. That's Givaldi. Anyway, the guy that was in charge, my friend, the older guy from yeshiva, comes by. He says, "How's it going?" He says, "Oh yeah, how's it? Look at this." He says, "Well, how do you do that? How do you finish off like 6 dozen, in a half hour?" Because then I started like getting crazy with seven. He said, "How do you do that?" I said, "How do you?" He said, "What do you think? I'm from hell, why not?" Wait, you see from hell? He says, "I do one." He has this horrible look in his face. What do you mean? I said, no, it's like two, three. I do four even. It goes, the machine's strong. It goes. He goes, what are you talking about? Are you kidding? He said, no. So he grabs the box, and he starts taking them out. I wasn't even looking at them, because I just, See, all the lenses, of course, have a slight curvature, you know what I'm saying? So by the time I got to the third one, the hole was right in the middle of the eye. It wasn't where you put the thing anymore, it was like right here. Every lens was ruined. It was like hundreds of dollars of these expensive lenses. And he said, you're an idiot, and he started grabbing these things and throwing the lenses all over, because the boss was going to come in. He started throwing them all over and hiding them underneath, and I'm gonna get this done with. He's paying me per hour, and okay, but if I thought of an interesting tachbula. This is a brilliant, an einfall that I had, an insight of how to produce sunglasses, and I used this eitzah, this tachbula, to try to avoid hard work. You can't do that. He says, "Actually, Gamli, it's tarech la'avad l'siyageya tos noyim l'sukan hatat." This is a very dangerous mistake. It's a very, very dangerous mistake to think that the eitzes and the tachbulas of Yiddishkeit, and like all the beautiful svarim that are coming out nowadays, that we never had really such svarim that help us in such a clear way. So many beautiful svarim. You see mamish on every shelf in the Sfarim store, and you bring back such beautiful Sfarim that are clear and wonderful, you know, because it used to be, and it always was, that you know, you learn a piece of the Kedushas Levi and you had to sweat over it, and then you would try from that Kedushas Levi, how do you extract in, you know, an Havaida that you could apply to yourself realistically from that piece of Kedushas Levi. Or you know, when you learn on the Svarim HaKadoshim, how is this something that can apply to me? What could I do, and how could I develop a mahalach from this? Now they're putting out Svarim HaKadoshim that you know, that everybody can learn these Svarim, and it gives you a program and it helps you, and you don't have to try to figure this out anymore. And it's not meant to replace. Those eights and tachbulas are not meant to replace very, very hard yigiyah, very hard work. but to be able to apply those to your life and to work with them in a very, very ambitious way. He says, besides the whole tachlis of our avodah, and the reason that Hashem gave us the Torah, not the angels, but now yigiyah seinah, it's because we're bala bechira. And the tachlis of our lives is to work hard. Not that we shouldn't have to work, and we should be able to use, you know, to rely upon different shortcuts and so on. But it's because of our yigiyah, the gufein of Yitzreinu, physical yigiyah, hard work. And Yitzreinu, gufein of Yitzreinu, masha'ein l'malachim, but some malachim don't have any of that. That's the main thing the Baruch Shalom demands of each and every one of us, is hard work, yigiyah, and mesiris nefesh. Mesiris nefesh, that's the avodah of being a Jew. Bechlal. Kol inyan mitzias ha-tachbulis v'eitzes hirak eich nuchal b'yigiyas ein latzlich. He says the whole inyan of finding, of using eitzes and tachbulis and serving Hashem is only to help that our yigiyah, that our hard work should bear fruit, should be matzliach, that's all. It's not to substitute the hard work. That's what all these new svarim are about. To take the Avodas HaKadosh, the great and exalted Avodas Hashem of earlier years, and to draw it into the lives of even people who are weak, who don't have the karchas that our ancestors had. So to bring it down. To make it accessible to us, but not that we should not that we shouldn't engage in that avodah, but just that we can understand it and that we could reasonably apply it to our personal lives, but not instead of hard work. We understand first you have all the acharonim, so we have this svarim, the acharonim, so we have the wonderful svarim that our ancestors didn't have to help understand a piece of Gemara, besides what I was talking about last week, besides all the translations and you go into the Svarim store, they have a whole table of accessories for the Daf Yomi people, and it's wonderful, and it's all different Svarim lach to make the Daf Yomi, you know, geschmack and understandable, and to help you in Hebrew and in English and so on. All these wonderful, and they have Daf, you know, and the newsletters, achreis, and all things that they, and it's all good. It's all very, very good to help to make it accessible. These are all eitzes and tachbulas and learning that a person should be able to learn. Because why? So he says, even in Paradis HaTorah, if you look, the Svarim. So when the Achrayim and all of these beautiful Svarim that even the Shiurim from the Rosh Yeshivas that we have that have been printed from Reb Shmuel Rozovsky and from David Favarsky, and the Shiurim of Reb Naftali Trop, and the Shiurim from Reb Elchanan and we have from the Heidegger Rosh Yeshivas, the Sukkos David, from David Kriyad, Zolgazon Zayin, and other, all these Svarim, that they weren't meant, those Tzaddikim that wrote these Svarim, they didn't intend that we should put the Rashba and the Shita Mukhabetzis and the Ran and the Ramban on the shelf, and to sit with these Svarim, with the Stipler or the Sukkos Dov and these Svarim, and to use these Svarim instead of the Rishonim. Because those Tzaddikim were able to write these Svarim because of their unbelievable Yegiyah, their hard work in the Rashba, in the Tosfos, in Iran. And we understand that, because nowadays, because of what the Rebbe says, Machasein HaKtzarim, that the mind and our ability to understand has been diminished to a great degree because of many factors in the world that we're living in and the distractions. So we have these Svarim are able to help us to put things together and to give us a geschmack and in learning and so on. But the ikke hatzlocha that a person will have in growing and learning will only come when it's just you by yourself with your Gemara, just sitting with your Gemara, and nothing else. My father once commented, you know, so it was like a Ben Asmanim or something, and I was home, so he came in and on my table, so I had the Gemara, and I had like, you know, six other Svarim, and I was looking up this and looking up that. And my father came and he looked and he asked me, what's this safe? You know, they're like new Svarim, you never heard of any of these things, you know, never heard of them. And my father said, when we were learning, we just had Gemaras. We didn't have anything else, he said. There was nothing else. They didn't have even these. There was only, you know, they had in the yeshiva, and my father said, you know, you had to wait for a Rambam. You had to wait, you know, online. If you wanted to look at a Rambam, it took a while, you know. But he said, we didn't have, you know, all these, we didn't have all these Svarim. And my father said, you know, you're guaranteed to be an Amoris like that. You're guaranteed, and it's true. Because instead of, when all you have is your Gemara, and your Hatzlocha is going to depend on this Gemara that's in front of me, and I'm working this through, instead of after 30 seconds of having a little bit of a difficulty, then you start looking everything up. So it takes away from a person his Yegiyah, his hard work. It takes away from a person his own creativity, of trying to understand and trying to come up with an approach to a Gemara, to a sugya, and this is something which also all of these Svarim are being used. All of these, which are Eitzes and Tachbulas for growing and learning, can often become crutches that are being used to replace and to substitute hard work. We're just not able to torment ourselves, and to drive ourselves in our avodah the way that our ancestors did. And therefore, there are eitzes and tachbulas that the tzaddikim have given to us and helped us with in learning and in avodah in these last generations. But whatever kaychas we do have, even though it's true, we're weaker now than we used to be. Intellectually and even physically in many ways, we're weaker than we used to be. But whatever we do have left in us, whatever kaychas we have left in us, we have to be mishabed to yegiyah, to hard work and avodas Hashem. Again, our limited kaychas and our limited intellects, lahalas is some lerech nichayach al mizbach Hashem, to bring them up as an offering under Baruch Shalom's mizbeach and his altar. That's our tachlis in being this world. So whatever there is, whatever kaychas a person has, and we can see that in ourselves. That when it comes to the Seder Hayyim in a yeshiva, how easy it is to slip into a certain kind of a laziness and a lack of kaychas and taking off how much time does a person need between this seder and that seder, different, you know. But that same person, when he's at work, let's say he has a job to do, or he's on a vacation somewhere, how much merits he has, how much energy he has, that he can go mamish 12, 13, 14 hours a day. But when you put him in front of a Gemara, you know, after an hour and a half, he ready, you know, he's ready to collect welfare and Social Security and unemployment, you know. There are a number of reasons for that, but in terms of what are the kaiches that a person has? A young person, a yeshiva bacher, a younger man, a guy that's living in Kailal, this guy's 19, 20, 21, 22 years old, there's tremendous, tremendous energy, tremendous merits that a person that age has, unless God forbid there's something wrong, you know, with his health. But if he's a healthy young man, it's unbelievable merits. And then you walk around like, and you see yeshiva bachram, if you come like, you know, at a certain time, at a certain hour, it could be in the middle of the day, and it's like, you know, the item is schluft and tired and wiped out, and they can't go on, and they're on strike for a longer, you know, break, and showing up late to the seder, I can't make it. Dragging themselves out of bed, and four alarm clocks, and some, you know, and then three other guys waking them up, and I can't. It's ridiculous. Unless a guy, God forbid, is sick, an 18, 17, 18 year old, he could mamish. He could run a marathon around the world any day that you tell him to. If you get the right amount of money for it, he'd do it. He's got a lot of merits. He's got a lot of kayach. Tremendous kayaches. But kol hadvarim yigeyim. But it's the idea that a person to push oneself when it's something that you like to do, when it's something that you enjoy doing, then you have a lot of kayaches. Then you have a lot of... But when it requires emunah and yigeyah, then it's very, very hard. But that's the tachlis of this world. The tachlis is to push oneself to be meshabbat all of one's kaifas, as limited as they are, including the intellect, to try to understand that when you have something in front of you, a gemara, a taisis, whatever it is, or one of the svarma kadoshim, and it's something which is hard, that you don't just say forget it and close it up to look something else, but to try again and again and again, two, three, four, five times, and to work on it and try to understand, and then to ask somebody if you can't understand it and to work it through and to. That's how a person achieves greatness. That's the only way that a person achieves greatness, because Be'etzim, he's a person that is a Bali Yigiyah, that he's hardworking. And he's Maisa Nefesh to learn and to understand. And it's the same thing when it comes to Kima Mitzvahs. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing. The whole thing in our generation to try to make Mitzvahs easier to be Mekayim. Like, how did they make Sukkahs in the old days? How did they make them? They didn't have prefabricated sukkahs. So how did Jews sit in a sukkah? At this point, we can't even imagine. So they must have hired. They must have a lot of people to hire. Nobody hired anybody. So how did they make sukkahs? And how did people light, you know, the Chanukah menorah before they made the little kits, you know, the snap off shemen zayis things. How did they light? How did they do such a thing? You know, it wasn't long ago. Now, Baruch Hashem, you could buy the Hadassim and the Ravis, right? You buy the Hadassim, you go to our good friends, the Cohens, and you get all the Hadassim and the Ravis. Everything is sealed tight, right, in the plastic bag. But do you remember when we had to stand there? Hours and hours. Anybody that's over 25 remembers that. It's only 6, 7 years ago, not even. We had to stand the whole night just to find a couple of Mishaloshim Hadassim. You had to stand there, the rabbis once over Hadassim, you had to stand the whole night looking for Hadassim. You just got a big bunch and you had to stand there and look for it. So all of that was part of the Mesivus Nefesh for being a Yid. Okay, we're grateful and it's wonderful. You walk in and you get your things straight out of the refrigerator, and it's all sealed and packed and the Hadassim are beautiful and they've all been chosen already for you and the rabbis, everything's... So, it's good because they know their customers. Because what I mean, because the Welt knows that if you're going to be talking about if the Hadassim stuff would still be going on, there would be guys that would be hired to find Hadassim for you. In other words, you could pay a guy a certain, well, it depends by the hour or per Hadass, there'd be a thing to hire somebody to be a Hadassim checker. That's where, if we didn't have the plastic bags with the Hadassim, by now there would be professional, there would be Hadassim Checkers Union by now. If we didn't have the plastic bags, it would be a union already. It would be a whole new miktsoa in the world for Hadassim Checkers. Because I'm going to stand there all day, and that's Hadassim. And it wasn't like a brisker thing to, you know, to stand there looking for a certain kind of an Esrog or Lulav, was to find kosher Hadassim. I'm not talking about anything fancy. just to find Kosher Hadas. And you remember that we had to stand there for hours and hours looking for Kosher Hadas. We had to go through, almost hundreds of them to find some nice Hadas. Huh?
Do you think put her into the plastic bag?
I don't hear.
Do you think put her into the plastic bag?
Who put them into the people they're doing?
Somebody who's hired to
be. Yeah, they're doing that for us. That's what. So, oh, right, that's true. That's what they're doing. Those guys in Eretz Yisrael, or wherever, that's what they're doing for us. The Hadassim people. And so it makes life easier for us. And Baruch Hashem. So why is it a mitzvah to stand around and look all to look for 2 hours for Hadassim? It's not. It's not that. It's the same thing with the Chanukah Lechtel. It's not that. It's just that the appreciation for Mesiris Nefesh and the mitzvah is.
That's
huh?
When you don't work as hard for something,
you don't appreciate it as much, right? And when you came home, when you got that, when you finally found that last hadas, it was a Metziah Kara. You wanted to cordon off the thing with a rope and just move everybody away. You found, you pick that up and you got the last one and you look at the other and you say, ah, look at these shlemazels. But there was a geschmack that you had with the mitzvah. Which of course, the ick is with Pesach, so I'm not going to, it's a little bit early, even though I saw the hotels already before Rosh Hashanah. They have now, every week they're ready, people saw me, I saw in the newspaper, every week you're ready, the new Pesach extravaganza with scholars and scholars and scholars and glatt kosher, and ahadrim, and all kinds of non-gebrochs and gebrochs, whatever you want. And all already before Rosh Hashanah. So what? So these are all aces and tarbulas. Not to become a better Jew. These are all aces and tachbulas, how to prevent you from having to be ma'aser nefesh in your avodas Hashem. And that's why I never had a taina on the caterers. It's not a kasha on the caterers. It's not a kasha on the world famous lecturers that are going to these things instead of staying home. It's not a kasha on them, because for them that's a good thing as a panasa and why not? But that the oilam has been so fakoifed, has been so bought with this inyan of these $20,000-$30,000 pesos, that the oilam has been so fakoifed, it's because of what's going on. That the inyan of a yegiyah, of working hard and appreciating a mitzvah and appreciating that the Rebbeinu Shlom has nachas ruach from what you're doing. And so all of that, like the Rebbe says, is lahalis oisam l'reach nichayach al-mizbach Hashem. All the yegiyah and sacrifice, all of that yegiyah, all of the hard work. You don't know what kind of a limud zchus it is. Like I've told every year, we talk. I mentioned that the Baditcheva said that the koilos that come out from the shofar, right? That it says in the machzer those psukim. No, cross off. You know what I'm talking about. It says in the machzer between the seder of tkiyas and shor. It says in the machzer. So the Baditcheva said each one in what is a cross off is a nid. There's krachs and each letter means with. When did the koilos, the Baditcheva said, when did the sounds of the shofar really 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 come out? He said, when you're climbing underneath the stove or wherever it is in the house, and you give a krechts, that's like a tekiah. Now the tekiah comes out with the krechts that you give under the stove, a week before Pesach. So instead of the yegiyah, so people are becoming losing that sense of mesiris nefesh, which what the Baditcheva was saying is this: what the Rebbe says here is lahalos esam l'reach nichayach al mizbach Hashem. Whatever koiches we have, the Rosh Hashanah tells us to bring it onto the Mizbeach and to make it an offering to Him, to make a sacrifice to Him. So the question is, what are our sacrifices? Are we using those eitzes and tachbulas as a way of substituting for the use of our koiches to the maximum? Yeah, Moshe.
For example, learning from the art school, class of example. Art school doesn't exist. I don't know how many, including myself, and how many of us can't open Gemara because we didn't grow up that way, or we, whatever. It's at least something to get us. The people are getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning because there's an art school Gemara in order to be at the Daf Yomi so they can follow along, which is for them a yugia, without which they wouldn't, and they couldn't.
Alright, I said this. I mentioned this last week. Asher Chalkam, these people that are producing this farm, the same I was talking about the others. The people that are producing the arts that produce the art school shas, I say this kaseda all the time, that this it's their chelik l'adam haba is immeasurable, because they are responsible for making Shas accessible to thousands upon thousands of Jews. Not only that, but to give them the incentive to feel that I can learn this Gemara. It's not hopeless. Because for all the years that a person felt a sense of hopelessness, you know, or you know, you looked at the, you know, Sansino and said, I'm not sure what that English means. And like I told you once, when I was a kid, so we were learning the Gemara someplace, and it was Orla, and we were little kids, and we were learning, and we got, there was somebody that had a Sansino, there was a neighbor of mine that had a Sansino, there were these little red, so that's Sansino, so I went to look that up, what that was. I was trying to learn this thing on my own, and I went to look it up, and it had, for Orla, it said, uncircumcised fruit. And I remember thinking, is there something I didn't hear about? Something going on. So anyway, the greatness and the tzidkus of the people who have made Torah accessible for our generation is mamish ein seif. That's not what I was saying. Just like didn't I say 5 minutes ago that there are these beautiful svarim in Avaida? It's the same thing.
I'm not talking about Shottenstein and Arskel and the people, about them. A lot of them have this, but even for a person such as Shottenstein, for whom opening the Gemara, even with the Arskel, is a Yegia. Why? Because that's number one. And number 100%. Two, that person's going to get up in the morning or stay up late at night when they won't have. So
100%. I'm not from the art scroller translation bashes. Other of it. All I'm saying, what I want, and I'm glad you asked that because it's an important nakuda and it needs to be repeated. Each person, that's what the Rebbe is saying in that last sentence. Whatever your kaiches are, your kaiches, your meichen, whatever they are, only Hashem knows whether you're pouring that into the art scroll or you're pouring it into the old Gemara or you're pouring it into the new translation of Rashi or the Ramban. That's only the Baruch Hu knows whether you're a hard worker. If you're hard work, in other words, if you are be'etzem a person that's driving yourself, but you see that you could reap 10 times the benefit of knowing Gemaras and knowing other things in Avin Torah with your hard work, but using the help of different translations. So again, I can't say that. I didn't say that, you know, there's not a mitzvah that a person has to torment himself. If he could accomplish 10 times more, each person is different. And there's certainly, it's wonderful. All I'm talking about is, what I believe the Rebbe is talking about is to use these shortcuts, or these eitzes, these tachbulas, as a way to replace old-fashioned perspiration and hard work. Which it's more likely that you'll slip into that. It's more likely. That's just the reality. Because
she was not taught the kids in sixth grade learning from art school.
Okay, I agree with that 100%. I believe that in the yeshivas, that from the first time that they learn, they should not be allowed to have anything, any of these aids, or any of these different things to help. That I'll take it even further. I'll tell you, I don't think that even the Mishnayos, I don't think that they should even give Mishnayos with Nakudas, and that to have a Rav and a Rav Bartanur and a Tosfos Yom Tov with Dats, with Nakudas, or Rashi's with Nakudas. I think the Rashi should all be that they should start off without Nakudas, and to learn how to read Rashi, and not to have all the nice, beautiful new Rashi. When you're older, you know, say that. But for the children, you take kids out of the, you take kids, and they're not being brought, and they're not being, from the time that they're in this world, they're not seeing an old Rashi, and an old, to see a regular Mishnayis without all the dots, and to change all the, into Isis Murubos, not to have Ksav Rashi. It's all easy on the eye, but it's easy on the intellect, and it contributes to a certain intellectual laziness, and a laziness bechlal, and a vaidus Hashem. So I understand, you're not, what are you gonna, is there a mitzvah to tell some Baal Tshuva, the guy didn't learn in yeshivas, and then what are you going to pop in front of him a Gemara and say, you know, or a Mishnayis or something, Chumash Rashi, and say, no, you have to do it without Nakudas, so what's the poor guy going to do, to make himself, there are some people that they're so ambitious that they'll push themselves to try to do that also, but Ruba, I don't recommend that. I say, if you didn't, you know, it's a Hashgarach from Hashem, it's not your fault if you didn't go to yeshiva, so now what are you going to sit for the next 14 years instead of, you know, so someone's going to ask you, what did you learn for these past 14 years in Gemara? What did you learn in Chumash? You can say, I learned A-A-E. You know, I learned in Akudas. What are you going to say? I learned, I could finally read. okay, it's a tremendous accomplishment, and there are people that have a merit to. But I personally think that it's Ashgachas Hashem, that Hashem Shabbat wanted at the end of time that the Torah should be mamish, should be available to everybody. But those who are using it, the Rebbe is saying, those who are using things as a way of replacing the hard work by using others, you know, to take out from an early age to start, and I think that all the art school and all of these things I feel should be totally outlawed in yeshiva. Completely against the law in yeshiva. I think the bechlal, I mean, it sounds crazy that all the shelves should be emptied in the yeshiva. It should just be the Rishayim. Just the Rishayim, a Rambam, Rishayim, Shulchan Aruch, and Gemara isn't finished. Just a Rashba, Ritva, and Aran, that's it. Nothing. Because I know for myself how much of the Yegiya was sapped for me because of the fun of looking up a million different Achroinim and hearing the Shia, when it was too early to do that, and I should have just been working over the Rishon. And my Rebbe was always so strong about that. When we were learning Chulin, so you know, we used to spend hours a Rashba, and then in the Bedek Habayis and Tiras Habayis, the Rashba and the Ra'ah, and the comparison and the Chedushim from Rashba, and then to look in the Tiras Habayis and to sit on the words and the Shita Mukubetzes to be Medayik and to spend hours and hours. And you know what? That not everybody wanted that Shia. There were other shiurim where it was like, you know, chetzagavra, you know, and it was like, and it was, you know, unbelievable, you know, chidushim. But I look back now and I say, you know, that's what my Rebbe wanted. He it wasn't just a matter of whether or not we would understand the sugya, but he wanted us to be Jews that kept our fingers in the Rashba. And that we were learning the Rishayim, and that we had an appreciation for the a Blat Gemara instead of trying to hear some fancy stuff that you could say over to somebody, you know, that you know sounds good. And this is a very big Nisayon when it comes to learning. And it's all good. We're not talking about good and bad, right? This is all good. We're not talking about good and bad. But it has an effect upon, even when it comes to fighting with the Yetzer. That's what the Rebbe is saying. Because your whole approach to life is, how do I get away with the least amount of work as possible? So Mamela, when it comes to Yetzer Hara, so you're looking for the, like an art school Yetzer HaTov. That's what's scary. The art school Yetzer HaTov means, how do I win with my Yetzer HaTov against the Yetzer Hara with a minimal amount of hard work? You want an art school Yetzer HaTov confrontation, and it's the same old, you know, the Yetzer HaTov and Yetzer don't have any Nakudas, and it's all in Hebrew, you know. There's no article Yetzer HaTov, it's all the same things that always was. Worse. So, when you're a person that your whole Teva becomes one where it's seeking the easy way out, and all kinds of Eitz and Tachbus to substitute for hard work, that's going to have to affect your Avodas Hashem. And that's what I'm talking about, the Kima Mitzvahs. That's what you see. The generation that produced Art Scroll, which is a Gewaldige thing, has produced the Pesach getaway. And it's about Yeshua's getaway. And it'll be in a year or two the Tisha B'Av extravaganza, which is already started because of all the wonderful things where you don't have to sit on Tisha B'Av and think yourself, where you can already go to lectures. All over they have these full day Yemei'iyun for Tisha B'Av, which, please don't get me wrong, and whoever's listening to this, if there's any Jew anywhere that ever listens to this on a tape, don't get me wrong, what am I saying that it's not good to have the big Yom Iyun for Tisha B'Av and the lectures on Churban and all of those other things? In the same way that I myself, every Tisha B'Av, we shouldn't have anymore, but every Tisha B'Av that some of the Chevra that you hear, you know, I always start off by saying that I really would rather not talk about the Kinas, I really would rather, and it's true. That each and every one of us should sit in the corner and should say keenness and try to think. But it's not going. So what I have to say, I have to start saying Jerusalem and all kinds of things, and you have to go to a Yom Iyun on Tisha B'Av, and we're going to have you look in newspapers from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock is the rabbi's end, and from 11 o'clock to 12 is the rabbi's end. Then there's no break for lunch, it's Tisha B'Av. Then you have, there's a break. And then you have 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock is this, and 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock is that. Yes, and my wife says, Moshe, what do you want? At least people won't be battling on Tisha B'Av. At least they'll be... That's the answer, you're right. Therefore, 100%. And I end up doing it myself, you know, schmoozing during the kines. But do I see this as a lechatchila? Absolutely not. I don't. It might sound like a nut, right? But it's, I don't see this as a lechatchila. I don't believe that's what Chazal had in mind for Tisha B'Av. To be sitting at lectures and, you know, and hearing all kinds of gishmak, you know, shiurim on the Churban. I don't believe it. I think each person was supposed to sit quietly on the floor and to be bent over like, which Sadiq was it? That the whole day Tisha B'Av was mamish. You have Mendelavorka, the Avoida, what's Tisha B'Av or Mendelavorka? But they would see him on the Tisha B'Av. It's not mamish. Lo yu'umun ki yisupa, what's written in the Sefer by Mendelavorka on Tisha B'Av. It's not. I believe that. Okay, so the answer is, we're not going to do it. What are we going to do? We'll end up coming back from davening pretty early, and then hanging out and talking and whatever, and schmoozing and looking, you know, listening to, so whatever it is that they're worried about. Whatever it is they're worried about. The same way that one of the guys told me someplace, I asked them, why are you putting out these sheets on the table? I spoke to you about this on Friday night. Why are you putting out sheets on the table before davening, you know, Torah sheets? That everybody, that half the people more standing there during the Chadaydi looking at something from the parasha. What are you doing? What kind of things is that? The Ratzon Hashem? Is that covered at tefillah? Is that covered for the tzaddik of Shlomo Alkibitz? That a yid comes after a whole week and he has a Kabbalah Shabbos and they're standing around looking to see what the Chassam Sofer says in the parasha? Which, that's the Ratzon Hashem, that you should see the Chassam Sofer, you see it Erev Shabbos, you see it Friday night, the Chassam Sofer. But when you daven, the Baruch Shalom wants you to daven the Chadaydi. So you know what he told me? He said, if I don't put these out, they're going to talk. If I don't put out the sheets, I got to keep the guys busy. If I don't keep them busy, like at least the guys will like look up this interesting Chassam Sofer. So then I will look up the, you know, the sheet with the halacha of the week and this and that, the pasha, and have all the different sheets. And if we don't do that, so then it's fafal. Then the guys are going to talk. It's going to be crazy.
Somebody told me the reason why they learn during davening is because if they're not learning during davening, their mind is thinking about horrible things.
Okay, that's a high madrega. That person's a balavoy. Say that, I hear that. But to prevent oneself from talking, they're different madregas. But it's not even that they're preventing themselves. The people put pages on. It's not, if you didn't put the page for them, if the page was 6 inches this direction, that direction, they wouldn't do it. They would just talk. So you have to put the page exactly on top of the siddur. You understand? And if it's on the wrong side, I'm sorry, I have to talk now. So the page is put directly, and then these are people who went to yeshiva, so they all know how to learn, or they have English ones too, but the guys went to yeshiva, and you don't have to feel guilty, but you don't have to face Hashem, you don't have to say, Mikdash Melech Yem Elucha, you could be still a good guy, you look in the Chassam Sofer, and finished. Good Shabbos, Kevin. So is that the Ratzon Hashem? I don't believe it's the Ratzon Hashem. So, but this is—it's all part of a certain mentality. Because for me to feel that l'chadaydi is something, and for me to connect to the bari olam through l'chadaydi, and for me to have a sense of Shabbos, that would require hard work. And you ask that guy, and the guy will tell you, "I had a hard week, you know, bug off." So it comes out that the Chassam Sofer is a lot easier for him than what? Than yigia. In focusing and concentrating on the words of Lech HaDaydi. The Chassam Sofer is a lot easier. Chassam Sofer is not so easy. But it's easier than facing my, you know, my neshama. It's easier than thinking about God. So I see Chassam Sofer. This way I don't have to look bad because I'm looking at Chassam Sofer. And I don't have to, you know, be involved in davening and avoda. And I said, all of this is part of a certain machla. Of that loss of Mesiris Nefesh and Yegia for Tefillah for Mitzvah. And it's very tempting. It's very, very tempting. And it's very hard to overcome. But this is, you know, with learning, with Kiyum HaMitzvahs, it's all that same Mahalach of the distillation, weakening of investment of one's Kaychas. But a person feels battered after a whole week. So really, the davening could be for you the biggest chizik, but if you don't put yourself into the davening, and instead it's something else, that's why everybody that's standing there in the shul, all those people that are talking during davening, they all believe in Hashem, and they all really feel bad afterwards. Everybody feels bad. They don't want to be like that. But in order to daven, they have to put in hard work. First, they have to fight very, 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 very strong against the Yetzirah not to talk, They have to fight against that. It's a big taiva to talk, so they have to fight. So that's aleph. That takes a lot of work because your friends think you like, well, you made yourself into tzaddik, you know, talk. So you have to work hard just to what? If you're not going to talk in shul, you have to work hard, A, to be an independent kind of a person, not to care what people think about you, because your friends are telling you, oh, look who became a big tzaddik, right? So you have to first work so hard not to care what people think, which is a idea, that you should be an independent person and say, what do I care? That's hard work. And then you have to work hard. The second thing is you have to work hard to know what the words mean. Now, if you went to yeshiva and it's already, you know, you're already 30, 40 years old, 50 years old, and you never learned what they mean, you're not going to start, you're not going to, you know, to stand with an English sit is not so geschmack, how can you use an English sit? And, you know, to look inside it. Well, that's also more yegiya to understand the words. That's another level of yegiya. Then there's another level of yegiya that says, besides that you're independent and you don't care what people think, and you don't, and you also have, you're a bal yegiya to try to sit down, even when it's not the time of davening, to go over the siddur and to write and to look and up and to work out, to understand what you're saying. Then there has to be yegiya, the kavana, that I'm standing in front of the shechina, that I'm standing by the Rabbeinu Shalom. And to think, what does that mean that there's a Rabbeinu Shalom? And that's hard work, and I'm, you know, I had a rough week. It's hard work. The kids don't have to go anymore to the library. You can go onto the international web. Whatever is that was the you can go on the internet, and you don't have to go. At least you had to know when you were growing up. You had to go to the library. So Kaidim called that itself as a shtickle yigir, right? We had to go where I grew up. We had to go to the Jamaica library. So that was yigir. It was also sakanas nefashis at a certain point. I was once mugged in the library. You had to. I'm not joking. I was once mugged in the library. You had to. It was a yigir. Huh? But yeah, remind me of supper to tell you what that was about. It's an interesting story.
That was
one yigiya. It's kind of called, you didn't go home. Had to get off the bus in Jamaica and go to the Jamaica library. And then we didn't have any kind of computer to find out where the book was. We had what? That's right. You had to go in those catalogs and look in the cards. And we didn't talk to the librarian because my mother told me don't talk to anybody. I wasn't allowed to talk to anybody. You know, when I went, wherever there were goyim, I wasn't allowed to talk to anyone. And I was scared when I was a little kid to talk to anybody. And I said to my mother, the lady, she looks nice, you know. She's all right. My mother says, don't talk to her. That's how I was raised. Don't talk to anybody. Only if you see somebody with a yarmulke, my mother said, you need help, you could ask. But don't talk to anybody else. So you just had, it was just you and the Dewey Decimal System with the cards, and then you're going around looking, you know, to find, and then you have to go through books, and looking through books, you have to write a paper, right? And looking through this to see, you know, where could you plagiarize and copy, and you're going looking, and you're looking, right? But it was a yigiya until you got it, and then when you had to, and then you had to come back with 20 books, and it was also a yigiya to copy and to figure out how the teacher wouldn't copy, like, you know, and to move things around, this paragraph and that paragraph, and to sound a little bit dumb, but not totally dumb. You want to get a good grade, but you don't want to sound too intelligent because the teacher knows you're not that intelligent, right? But it was all it was a yigiya. There was epic. You had to put something into that until finally at the end you had a paper, right? And then with the paper, so then I had to have my mother type. That was my mother's yigiya. And with the typewriter, wasn't electric. There wasn't even an electric typewriter. My mother was one of the last holdouts. So we had the typewriter. Was, you know, you had to go bam, bam. So my mother was and hours and hours, and it was wrong. And then you had to with the whiteout. It wasn't even whiteout yet, and it was with the erasing and then making it look good and then filling it in with pencil instead because I didn't want to bother my mother again. You know, all that stuff until because she came up with a paper that was like half type and half written. It was a funny kind of paper, but it, you know, and it was like a leaflet from 20 different svarim. Write that paper from 20 different books. No, you don't have to do that. A seven-year-old kid now just goes and he sits down. He's got his mouse, and he's got his machine over there. And the subject, we have to write a paper on faulty alarm systems, right? And he sits down, he writes, and he just has to ask, the only guy he has to ask his sister, how do you spell faulty? So she says, okay. Oh, you don't have to do that either. Spell check. Okay, I forgot. So then you press, that's right. Sorry. Presses a button and then faulty alarm. 325 websites. It says, oh no, this is too much yigiya. 300, I can't do that. So then he just like, ran, you know, then there's another site. No, finished papers. What am I, an Amaritz? They're finished.
Answers.com.
Huh?
I just met the company. It's coming up, so you don't have to see so many websites. They'll just give you the finished.
Oh, because there's a specialty you just get right to the. No. So then you press another button, and then have you a paper that, you know, whatever, put together. I'm sure they're going to have, now it's already got scary because the teachers also have the same machine. So it got a little bit scary. So they're going to, I'm sure they're going to come up with something. They already have something where it's done with such seichel, where you get a paper, but the paper itself is a leakage from different paper. You know, it's all, the bottom line is, I got this thing, I did nothing to get it. And there's a hergel for that. And it carries over into work. It carries over into marriage. It's the same thing in marriage. Oh, today my wife is not happy. Today my wife is not. My wife is, you know, she's acting up a little bit. It's not. I guess I got to find a new one. It's not good. This wife's not working out. It's not working. I got to find a new one. You know, it's just the international web. You go on the internet. You can find wives on the internet. And you press wife, and they give you a website. And you know, it's good. And you have to find out how do you dispose, and then you can look. I'm sure there's a website to figure out how to dispose of your present wife. They have websites to make bombs. You have websites to dispose of your wife, and you press another button, wife disposal, and you press in the word check on disposal, and you press wife disposal, and then and you have 450 sites about how to get out. They're the violent ways of getting out. No. I'm a Jew. So you go to the non-violent, then you press more on the thing it says on the side, non-violent disposal. That's for Jews. So then you press the non-violent disposal. And it tells you how in a non-violent way to dispose of your wife. It takes longer, but I have patience. And it takes longer. How over a year or two you can get out. And the bottom it says contact the Bezdin of America for your get, you know, and then it has all kinds of adjacent. And then you press that, and it shows you, you know, the latest, websites for Torah online to get the paper for Friday night. No, that's what we're living in. So I'm making Leitzanis, but it's not so far off. But this is what's being raised now. A generation of lazy, unmotivated. The ambition is to make a lot of money, but not the yigia that goes into it. The ambition is to be a person that knows shas, but not the hard work that goes into mastering shas, to knowing a black gemara, to knowing shas. The ambition of being a person that's a big tzaddik, that's a big oved Hashem, but not the hard work that goes into becoming a big oved Hashem. I want to be an oved Hashem. I want to be an oved Hashem, but I want to be able to press a button and then poof, I'm an oved Hashem. I want to press, you know, a button that makes me into like that kind of a person that's. And that doesn't exist. Because the whole tachlis is not the end result. That's the Baruch Shalom's business. The whole tachlis is only how do you get there. And the way to get there is with sleepless nights and a lot of mikvahs and a lot of davening and a lot of hard work. Were you reading last week at the Hamodiyah on the Ribnitzer? You read it? You saw about the Ribnitzer with the mikvah? His avodah with the mikvah? It's mamish. Not from this generation, that there was a Jew like the Ribnitzer. I always heard, I knew that he went to the mikveh, but a lot, you know, that was his Indian, but it wasn't something that was from this world. The Ribnitzer was avoda in Kedusha, the Ribnitzer. Sapella, that the Ribnitzer was such a Balmaifist, that people, you know, the stories that he was able to move the clouds over and walk on. The Ribnitzer, that doesn't happen overnight to be a Jew like that. That was until the 1970s, he's with the communists. He was an Eved Hashem there. He was going with all of his chumras, all of his avaydis in the face of the communists, taking care of other Jews and being mechazik of the Jews and what he went through. Yisurim, the unbelievable suffering, the ruach, the guf, the ice water and the mikvahs. What an avayda, that he was able to. No, but we would like to be the kind of people that we could like move the clouds over. We could wake up one morning and be like the Ribnitzer. And like go out, you know, for God for Kiddush Levana, we're having a hard time. You say, don't worry. You move the clouds up, and you like the Ribnitzer, because we want to be like the Ribnitzer, because that's a Gevaldige thing. We want our children to be like the Ribnitzer, but how do you, you know, we don't want to have to go through the hard work of raising a Ribnitzer. It's Mamish Yom Velayla. It's Yom Velayla. That's why nowadays the parents, it's so easy for the parents.
sorry that I'm going on long, but it's an important nakuda, really. It's so easy for the parents to blame the rebbeim, to blame the teachers, to blame the yeshivas, because the yeshiva is now supposed to substitute what you're supposed to be doing as a parent. The chachila, the whole way of chinuch, is supposed to be the father with the kid. Okay, so we know from Chazal that became very, very difficult to say that. So we have schools, we have yeshivas, we have teachers, and so on. But now, if you see that if a kid has bad midas, you have a tie with the teacher. What's going on? What kind of yeshivas? I got to change yeshivas. I got to put my kid in a different yeshiva. My kid talks back. He must have learned that in yeshiva. He learned it on the bus. He learned something. They're not fixing it in yeshiva. They're not fixing it. Like you put somebody into the car wash. You put the kid into yeshiva. He's supposed to come out on the other side. Everything is supposed to be gevaldik. You just put him through the car wash. It's more expensive. But you put him through the yeshiva. He's supposed to come out from the yeshiva. Perfect. Beautiful. Everything's good. And that's what people would want. So that Mimela, they have times with the yeshivas. Everybody's upset with the yeshivas. Okay? Because the yeshiva is supposed to be, in the yeshiva is supposed to be making that effort. But as far as how you're raising the kids, and how do you speak to the children, and who are you in the house, and so on and so forth, and what are your yegiyas in learning in Torah with your children, and avoida with your children, what do they see by Shabbos, and your avoida. So our generation is very, very weak. So therefore we depend on the yeshivas. The yeshivas are going to make my kid. The yeshiva will make my kid into a yid. So then there's the other thing. So then not even the yeshiva. The Eretz Yisrael yeshivas will make my kid into a yid. Because I already gave up on the yeshiva here. So then, because why? Because the yeshivas, over here is not so good. Because this and that and all the influences. But when they get to Yerushalayim, when they get to some yeshivas, that'll make them into a Jew. So this way I don't have to worry. I don't have to work hard. And all the other things that could be in the house, because at some point it's all right. My kid will pack up, and I'll send them off to some yeshiva, and he'll come back like the kid next door. Look how firm he is. Look what a tzaddik is. The parents have no asaga what those kids have to go through. The parents don't have asaga with the kid, even the one next door that looks like a big tzaddik, what he had to go through, what kind of things he had to swim through in order to get to be a little bit of an erlich yid, what he had to go through. But it's okay, because I'm just going to press the button. And there's a website, yeshiva, 12, 13, 14 years yeshiva. And my kid's going to come out together with the Eretz Yisrael experience, not too much, a little bit. And then the kid comes out, then the kid will come out like a nice, firm person. Come out like a nice, firm, well-adjusted, happy guy. And everything's okay. Shalom HaYisrael. This is, so in the mail, the yeshivas are at fault, and everything else is at fault. And I guess sometimes they could, and everybody could scream and yell and blame. You know, they're blaming the internet, and they're blaming the street, and they're blaming society, and they're blaming America, and they're blaming, everybody's blaming and blaming and blaming. But the avoida, the yegiya that is required of each and every one of us in our homes, to make our homes holy places, we don't want to do that, because that's hard. And we're tired. And we don't have the kaychas. We do have the kaychas, that's what the Rebbe is saying. Well, we don't maximize our use of the kaychus, and that's the whole tachlis of being an Eved Hashem. The whole tachlis of being an Eved Hashem is to take all of that yigi and all of those kaychus and to bring it onto the mizbech to Hashem as an offering. And he says, "V'mish oived ata." If you're a person that you're an oived, Eved Hashem is yageba, but also ben belimud ben b'avayd b'poil. That's a din in the gavra, that you are an oived. You are an oived. A person has to be an oived. Look, that's the honorary title of a hardworking Jew, an oived. That's the most beautiful thing to be, an oived. Someone that's working. Ben b'avayd b'poil, ben b'moyach, whether it means you're a hardworking person when it comes to avayd b'poil, when it comes to physical work, you have a job, you're an oived. You work hard, you don't look for shortcuts, you do a good job, you're a hard worker. Ben b'moyach, ben b'guf, with your mind, intellectually, you're an oived. You're an oived. Hashemiyata kachtiyah, azman amuvcharim, the Rebbe says, then you should know, if you're an oived, in everything you do, physical and spiritual and intellectual. If you're an Ayurved, the Rebbe says, Azman amuvcharim, then you are from the choicest human beings on God's planet. Menamuvcharim umenamitsuyonim asher b'dayreinu ata. You are from the most chosen in our present generation if you're an Ayurved. He didn't say if you're brilliant. He didn't say if you're no shas, if you're an Ayurved. You are from the most chosen of our generation if you're an Ayurved, if you're a misyageya. V'hain Hakdosh Yisrael Tia, and you are the precious, precious possession of the Holy One of Israel, of Hashem. And you will become such a person. You will become that treasure of Hashem. You will grow into that treasure of Hashem. If you're an oivid, then you're not someone that's covering your chesroinus. You're not making believe that everything is fine. You're not trying to hide. You're trying to. You're an oivid. You want to fix things. Like not to cover up, smear something over. Like, you know, like that kind of a paint job. You take something, you slap on some paint, and whatever, what's going on underneath the paint, we'll find out next year. But right now, you just slap on the paint. Underneath what happened to that hole and that hole and that hole. We'll leave that over for the next owner of the house, right? But you're an oive. You don't cover up your chesroinus. Like adarabba, mechapis atoisim, adarabba, an oive is someone that is searching for his chesroinus, wants to know. So if somebody criticizes you, if someone tells you, gives up a little musa for something that's wrong, you don't get angry, you appreciate it. You want to kiss him. Shkoyach, for pointing that out to me. And I can become better. Because he's looking, he's an oive. He wants to know, how could I become better? Whereas another person won't go to hear the musa shmuz, what do I need to hear that for? He's wrong, it's not me. He's told what I need to hear about some other people, it's not nice. It's not about me. And if someone tells him a shikul musa, no good. But an oived wants to hear that because he wants to change. But adra mechapis atoyisam la'akivim l'sakvim, that I could recognize what it is and how I could fix it. Okay, let's go daven mitzvah.